Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading MRT for May 21st, 2024. Postal Service pauses proposed changes to Midland Processing Center by Mella McEwen, staff writer. Last July, the United States Postal Service announced plans to modernize its Midland Processing and Distribution Center near Midland International Air and Spaceport into a local processing center. Under the plan, the USPS would invest up to $13.2 million in the facility as part of its 10-year Delivering for American plan to modernize the nation's postal network. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy has now paused those plans following a letter from Senator John Cornyn and 26 of his Senate colleagues asking him to pause the changes. The senators had expressed concern over the impacts the changes have had on communities across the country and the potential impact on timely mail delivery that could result from further changes. In response, DeJoy committed to pausing any implementation of the changes until after January 1, 2025. Even then, we will advance these efforts only at a moderated pace of implementation, DeJoy wrote in his response. Cornyn commented, "Timely and reliable mail delivery is essential for Texans who depend on the Postal Service for everything from medication deliveries to notes from loved ones from afar. I appreciate General DeJoy's good faith effort to heed our concerns and believe this is a positive first step towards much-needed transparency, analysis, and accountability to ensure all Texans can count on this critical service. Implementing the mail processing facility review would have impacted not just Midland, but Abilene, Corpus Christi, El Paso, Lubbock, and McAllen. Turning the Midland Processing and Distribution Center into a local processing center would have meant transferring mail processing outgoing operations to the Amarillo Processing and Distribution Center and was forecast to save $1.9 to $2.5 million annually. The $13.2 million would include $4.3 million for modernization efforts and deferred maintenance. Funds would have been used for workplace amenities, including new lighting and renovated bathrooms and break rooms. A $3.9 million Flex Rover System quad would be located in the facility, and a sorting and delivery center would be co-located in the facility. No career layoffs were expected as part of the initiative. Dunes, sagebrush, lizard officially listed as endangered by Mella McEwen, oil editor. After more than a decade and several lawsuits, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service announced Friday, May 17th, that it is listing the dune sagebrush lizard as endangered under the Endangered Species Act. The designation of critical habitat was found to be prudent but not determinable, and the FWS has up to a year from the time of the listing to propose critical habitat. The Permian Basin Petroleum Association is deeply disappointed that the service has chosen to list the dune's sagebrush lizard as endangered at this time, Ben Shepard, PBPA president, told the Reporter Telegram by email. This arbitrary decision is not supported by the available science and flies in the face of the state-sponsored conservation efforts, which include the enrollment of hundreds of thousands of acres and commitment of millions of dollars in both Texas and New Mexico. The lizard is a rare species found only in the Chenery Oak and Sand Dune ecosystems in extreme southeast New Mexico and west Texas, according to the service. The lizard occurs in about 4% of the lands that make up the 86,000-square-mile Permian Basin. Primary threats to the lizard include loss of habitat associated with oil and gas development, sand mining, and changing climate. The service, Shepard wrote, mischaracterizes existing data in an attempt to support its unfounded hypothesis that the lizard is in danger of extinction. Moreover, this conclusion is inconsistent with the service's 2012 decision not to list the lizard, a decision based on the creation of conservation agreements, which the service deemed would be effective. In 2020, the service approved additional conservation efforts for newly active industry on the landscape, and enrollment in these efforts has been tremendous, yet still ignored, he wrote. The Endangered Species Act is an important tool in preventing the extinction of imperiled species like the dune's sagebrush lizard, said Amy Luters, the service's Southwest Regional Director, announcing the listing decision. The service will continue working collaboratively with tribes, industry, stakeholders, and private landowners while ensuring protections for the lizard and its habitat. The service also defended its decision, noting in its statement that conservation efforts for imperiled species can be greatly expanded through collaborative approaches that foster cooperation and the exchange of ideas among stakeholders. In New Mexico and Texas, around 100 ranchers and 100 oil and gas partners have enrolled in voluntary agreements to implement conservation practices that address specific threats, with assurances that if the species is listed, they can continue to manage their land outlined in their agreements, with no additional requirements or restrictions, according to the service. In New Mexico, the service said these voluntary enrollments cover nearly 85% of the dune sagebrush lizards range within the state. In Texas, enrollment focuses on avoiding and mitigating any unavoidable impacts on lizard habitat. Although new enrollment in these voluntary agreements ends when the listing rule is final and effective, the service has multiple tools and programs to work with industry, private landowners, and public agencies to streamline and ensure compliance with the ESA. In addition, through advanced horizontal drilling techniques, oil and gas wells are still able to reach most oil and gas reserves without disrupting lizard habitat, the service added. For his part, Shepard wrote, "This is another action by the service showing that regardless of resiliency and effectiveness of state-led conservation efforts, such efforts will be ignored in favor of paperwork protections, a favorite tool of environmental activists." Instead, he suggested, the service should have recognized the efforts of the communities in West Texas and Southeast New Mexico, industry in that region, and other partners that have had success in conserving the habitat for the lizard. Voluntary conservation measures already in place continue to demonstrate value. This listing will bring no additional benefit for the species and its habitat, yet could be detrimental to those living and working in the region. The service's refusal to designate habitat shows a lack of comprehensive understanding of the true conditions and needs of the species. This is yet another attempt to single out an industry while utilizing a species and other federal effort to overreach to the detriment of communities across West Texas and Southeast New Mexico, Shepard concluded. We are proud of the work PBPA members have done and will continue to be good stewards of our natural resources through volunteer conservation efforts. Midland offers three cooling centers as summer heat begins, by B.K. Richter, staff writer. As temperatures in the Midland area begin to warm up for the onset of the summer season, the city of Midland has three cooling centers that are currently available to residents. A city spokesperson confirmed the three locations along with their hours of operation on Monday. Here are the known cooling centers at this time. Salvation Army of Midland at 600 East Wall Street is open daily Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Phone 432-683-3614. Thriving United, 201 East Illinois, is open daily Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Phone 432-701-8678. Martin Luther King Center Auditorium, 2300 Butternut Lane, is open Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., Wednesdays and Fridays from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m., Saturdays from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. Finding relief on a hot day is important to staying safe. During summer months, city facilities such as libraries and recreation centers can also be used as potential cooling centers for residents. According to the U.S. National Weather Service in Midland, a heat advisory is in effect through early Monday evening for the Davis Mountains, Chisos Basin, and Lower Brewster County. In the Davis Mountains and Chisos Basin, highs of 95 to 99 are expected. In Lower Brewster County, highs of up to 110 to 113 are expected. MISD releases statement following third future reports, by Ben Schaefer, staff writer. Midland ISD said it will cooperate with the Texas Education Agency investigations regarding Third Future Schools, a locally involved charter school network focused on school improvement. The Houston Chronicle reported that Houston ISD community members are calling for an investigation into state-appointed Superintendent Mike Miles after reports that the charter school network he founded, Third Future, had moved funds from Texas public charter schools to Colorado campuses while he was CEO. Third Future began operating Sam Houston Preparatory Elementary School in the 2020-2021 school year, and it also operates Lamar Elementary under a three-year contract. It operates Ector College Prep in Odessa as well. Miles and Third Future have denied any wrongdoing that has been alleged in news reports. MISD released the following statement last week following a call for an investigation into Third Future by Representative Anna Hernandez, District 143. Third Future Schools has operated Sam Houston Collegiate Preparatory Elementary since the 2020-21 school year and began operating Lamar Elementary during the 2023-24 school year in Midland Independent School District. The statement reads, agreements are in place to continue the partnership through June 2025 and June 2026 at both campuses, respectively. Per its contract with TFS, Midland ISD is obligated to provide oversight both financially and academically. The district also meets its financial obligations that are outlined in the contract. Annual independent audits are provided by TFS to the district as per the partnership agreement. MISD upholds financial integrity and has earned numerous awards, including receiving Texas State Comptroller Transparency Stars since 2019 and the Association of School Business Officials International Certificate of Excellence in Financial Reporting in 2021-22. The district was recently awarded the 2024 Texas Association of The district was recently awarded the 2024 Texas Association of School Business Officials Award of Merit for Purchasing Operations, the Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting, GFOA, and the Certificate of Excellence in Financial Reporting, ASBO. These awards are given as the highest forms of recognition in the areas of governmental accounting and financial reporting and reflect a commitment to financial transparency and high-quality financial reporting. The district has received clean audit findings. The district has received clean audit findings for the last 5 years dating back to 2019. Should TEA elect to conduct an investigation, MISD will provide the requested information and documentation and cooperate fully. MISD has been in communication with TFS and has been assured that funds for students served in Texas have not been used for schools in other states where they operate. Midland Independent School District values its partnership with Third Future Schools and the work they are doing at Lamar Elementary and Sam Houston Collegiate Preparatory Elementary in Midland. In the upcoming years, as contracts with Third Future Schools in Midland ISD expire, as with any other partnership agreement, the district will evaluate the renewal of these based on the effectiveness of the school, along with the track record of successful student outcomes and the state accountability system. Trinity senior Hans Moritzen admitted to USC School of Dramatic Arts. By Kesley Salinas, staff writer. Hans Moritzen, a Trinity School senior, has been admitted to the School of Dramatic Arts at the University of Southern California, USC. The prestigious acting program is highly competitive, with an acceptance rate between 4 and 6%. Meaning that only 20 to 30 applicants get admitted each year. Moritzen was also accepted to Auburn, Chapman, and Trinity University, but has chosen to attend USC in the fall. Moritzen started acting during his sophomore year of high school when he was at a boarding school in Utah. His first role was the musical The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Moritzen later won the state competition in contemporary theater. I think maybe I can do this the rest of my life, said Moritzen about acting. He transferred to Trinity School his junior year of high school. Nancy Pinnell, an honors English teacher at Trinity, encouraged Morrison to audition for the Mary Poppins musical at Trinity. Pennell said that Morrison was so excited and energized to be in the Mary Poppins showcase. He was also featured in the Newsies musical at Trinity. He is always wanting more, said Pennell. He feels like there are more things that he needs to achieve and more things that he needs to know. Morrison was debating majoring in either acting or business. He applied to 8 schools for business and 2 schools for acting. The application process for USC included submitting an acting resume and audition tapes with a contemporary scene and classical scene. Morrison wanted to send in the best tapes he could and turned to Chris Vaught, the choir director and music teacher at Trinity, to help him. Morrison and Vaught searched for a place on campus that was quiet enough for them to record the audition tapes. My expertise is on the musical side, but it was a joy to give him some ideas about what he can do with his acting ability in a single monologue, Vaught said. The pair worked on the audition tapes on a Friday night until around 7:30 p.m. when Morrison's phone ran out of battery. The audition tapes were the first time that Morrison and Vaught had collaborated. Morrison was then invited to do an in-person audition at USC. Vaught brought in Mark Kaufman, the stage director for the Newsies musical at Trinity, to help him clean up his contemporary scene for the audition. Kaufman is also a volunteer at Midland Community Theater. When Morrison went to USC, around 50 kids were waiting to audition, one of whom had just finished auditioning at the Juilliard School in New York. I thought, okay, I need to pull it all out on the floor, Morrison said. There were 2 judges in the room, and they told me to tell them a story. I tried my best. The result? Morrison opened his college decision letters with his family. He had gotten accepted into 4 schools and got rejected to 4. When the time came to open his USC letter, he felt like he had to do that alone. I went into my room and sat on my chair and clicked to open it, Morrison said. I saw the little confetti and jumped out of my chair. I ran and yelled, Mom! And they were taking a nap, but we hugged and celebrated. It was awesome. Morrison said that he's grateful that he had the support of Vaught and Kaufman throughout the audition process and that he felt blessed that he got in. You showed up to rehearsal for Newsies wearing a USC t-shirt, and that's how we knew you had gotten accepted, Vaught said. Vaught said that he enjoyed working with Morrison because he absorbs any direction that he's given, but continues to bounce around his own ideas about what can improve his character development. I very rarely, in my experience, have come across a student that works as hard as he does, Vaught said. He has the dedication and mindset where he's like, I need to get something done. I want to get something done. I have a desire and passion to get this done. Morrison always looks for ways and always asks questions about where he can do better. Vaught said, it's rare to find somebody with the mindset of always looking for ways to improve. We are proud of Hans, Sarah Kramer, Trinity's Director of College Advising, said in a press release. Earning a spot in this highly selective program validates what we have seen in Hans at Trinity, an authentic, engaging, and bright young man whose stage presence is dynamic. We look forward to hearing about his many accomplishments as an actor. Tim Jones, Trinity's head of upper school, also expressed his excitement in a press release. The impact Hans has made in our community has been significant, Jones said. He is a talented actor, evidenced by his leading roles in school productions of Mary Poppins and Newsies. But he's also a multiple sport letter winner and a great student in the classroom. We are excited for Hans to have this opportunity and know that he will thrive at USC and beyond. Bravo, Hans. Morrison graduates from Trinity on May 24th. He plans to go to London in the summer to see some plays and start networking with other actors. You may also catch a glimpse of him in Taylor Sheridan's new television series, Landman, where Morrison will be an extra. If you keep an eye out, you're going to see more of Hans in the future if he really learns and hones his skills as an actor, Pennell said. If that's not what he decides to do, he's still going to blossom at whatever he chooses. Texas Bridge connecting Galveston and Pelican Island reopened after barge collision by Juan A. Lozano, Associated Press, Houston. A bridge near Galveston, Texas that was damaged last week when a barge carrying fuel broke free from a tugboat has reopened to vehicle and pedestrian traffic after safety inspections deemed it safe, officials said. The barge crashed into a pillar supporting the Pelican Island Causeway span on May 15th. The impact caused the bridge to partially collapse and cut off the only road connecting Galveston to Pelican Island. After a review of the bridge by the Galveston County Navigation District No. 1 and underwater inspectors with the Texas Department of Transportation, the structure was reopened late Saturday night. Officials have set weight limits for vehicles using the bridge. Early estimates had indicated that up to 2,000 gallons of oil spilled into surrounding waters following the collision. On Sunday, the U.S. Coast Guard updated that figure, saying approximately 20,000 gallons of oil were spilled. After the oil spill, authorities deployed a boom or barrier to contain the spill, forcing the temporary closure of about 6.5 miles of the waterway. Cleanup efforts have ended around Pelican Island, but crews were still removing oil and washing shoreside rocks along Swan Lake, a coastal recess located several miles west of Pelican Island along the Texas coast. During the cleanup efforts, crews recovered three dead, oiled birds from around Swan Lake, two brown pelicans, and a laughing gull. Nine other birds were alive but covered in oil were spotted around Swan Lake, but officials said they were not able to recover them. To further protect wildlife, acoustic cannons were placed to provide an audible distraction to shore birds, the Coast Guard said. After the barge collision, Texas A&M University at Galveston, which has a campus on Pelican Island, had closed its facility. Fewer than 200 people related to the school were on the island at the time. The university said the campus resumed normal operations on Monday. The Coast Guard said the tugboat had lost control of the 321-foot barge due to a break in the coupling that had connected the two vessels. The affected area is miles from the Gulf Intracoastal Waterway, which sees frequent barge traffic, and the Houston Ship Channel, a large shipping channel for ocean-going vessels. The accident came weeks after a cargo ship crashed into a support column at the Francis Key Bridge in Baltimore on March 26, killing six construction workers. Two injured in plane crash at Midland Air Park by B.K. Richter, staff writer. A single-engine plane crashed at the Midland Air Park around 11 a.m. on Monday. According to the Midland Police Department, there were two people on board the plane during the crash. Both the pilot and passenger suffered minor injuries and were checked out by Midland EMS. The Airport Police Department was on the scene of the incident, along with the Texas Department of Public Safety and the Midland Fire Department. According to a city spokesperson, the aircraft made a hard landing. Possibly the wingtip caught the ground and spun it off the runway. No other information was released. The Reporter-Telegram reached out to the FAA regarding the incident and will continue to provide updates as soon as details surrounding the incident are released. United Way recognizes excellence in education. Submitted to MRT, United Way of Midland and other community partners came together to honor the hard work of the men and women in Midland County schools. The annual event, sponsored and underwritten by local foundations and businesses, recognizes area educators and support staff that go above and beyond in local classrooms and campuses. The awards included Elementary Teacher of the Year, Secondary Teacher of the Year, Unsung Hero, Rookie Teacher of the Year, Veteran Teacher of the Year, and Campus of the Year. The 2024 Midland County Excellence in Education Award District winners: Campus of the Year, Coleman High School; Elementary Teacher of the Year, Caitlin Merrill, Bowie Fine Arts Academy; Secondary Teacher of the Year, Darla Morrow, James R. Brooks Middle School; Private Sector Teacher of the Year, Cliff Clark, Texas Leadership Charter Academy Middle School; Unsung Hero of the Year, Martina Luvano, Coleman High School; Rookie Teacher of the Year, Isabel Sanchez, Legacy Freshman; Veteran Teacher of the Year, Kimberly Betcher, Young Women's Leadership Academy; Moving the Needle Forward, Angela Dellinger, Greenwood Elementary; Innovative Teacher of the Year, Michelle Brown, Bunch Elementary; Teacher of the Year and Unsung Hero Awards by Campus, Sarah Croissant, Abel Junior High Teacher of the Year; Candy Gutierrez, Abel Junior High Unsung Hero; Karen Vickery, Alamo Junior High TOY; Isabel Gutierrez, Alamo Junior High UH; Logan Featherston, Ben Milam Intermediate Academy TOY; Areli Ruvacaba, Ben Milam Intermediate Academy, UH, Shelley Walker, Bonham Elementary, TOY, Rebecca Hickey, Bonham Elementary, UH, Caitlin Merrill, Bowie Fine Arts Academy, TOY, Terry Pitts, Bowie Fine Arts Academy, UH, Janet Kendall, Bunch Elementary, TOY, Lydia Bills, Bunch Elementary, UH, Luz Casarubias, Burnett Elementary, TOY, Nicole Jimenez, Burnett Elementary, UH, Meredith Brooks, Bush Elementary, TOY, Tamberlyn Burrow, Bush Elementary, UH, Krista Nickel, Carver Center, TOY, Landry McQuistion, Carver Center, UH, Natalie Zeno, Coleman High School, TOY, Martina Luvano, Coleman High School, UH, Odalise Barros, De Zavala Elementary, TOY, Irene Torres, De Zavala Elementary, UH, Taylor Hudgens, Early College High, TOY, Sylvia Marquez, Early College High, UH, Chelsea Woods, Emerson Elementary, TOY, Micah McGee, Emerson Elementary, UH, Rindy Dworsky, Fannin Elementary, TOY, Callista Caswell, Fannin Elementary, UH, Alexandra Gonzalez, Faskin Elementary, TOY, Angie Bedoin, Faskin Elementary, UH, Virginia Monte, Franks Elementary, TOY, Tracy Yon, Franks Elementary, UH, Kara Mabel, Goddard Junior High, TOY, April Barreras, Goddard Junior High, UH, Victoria Serta, Great House Elementary, TOY, Savannah Smith, Great House Elementary, UH, Michelle Williamson, Greenwood Elementary, TOY, Amy Huddleston, Greenwood Elementary, UH, Amy Robinson, Greenwood High, TOY, Jennifer Flores, Greenwood High, UH, Amanda Smith, Greenwood Intermediate, TOY, Lacey Bridges, Greenwood Intermediate, UH, Cassie Jayasimi, Henderson Elementary, TOY, Susan Young, Henderson Elementary, UH, Lauren Reeves, Holy Cross Catholic High School, TOY, Ryan Griffin, Holy Cross Catholic High School, TOY, Samantha Flores, Elementary, Idea Travis Academy, TOY, Caitlin O'Keefe, Secondary Idea Travis Academy, TOY, Claudia Dominguez, Idea Travis Academy, UH, Darla Morrow, James R. Brooks Middle School, TOY, Sunny Bingham, James R. Brooks Middle School, UH, Maria Romero, Jones Elementary, TOY, Selena Cortez, Jones Elementary, UH, Haley Kitzman, Lamar Elementary, TOY, Christy McGuire, Lamar Elementary, UH, Stuart Harvey, Legacy Freshman, TOY, Carlos Lopez, Legacy Freshman, UH, Tom Kelly, Legacy High, TOY, Christina Leeper, Legacy High, UH, Shirley Smith, Long Elementary, TOY, Magdalena Magalanas, Long Elementary, UH, Kelly Jenkins, Midland Academy Charter School, TOY, Maria Alvarado, Midland Academy Charter School, UH, J.R. Silva, Midland Alternative Program, TOY, Oscar Rodriguez, Midland Alternative Program, UH, Amy Batista, Midland Freshman, TOY, Diana Delgado, Midland Freshman, UH, Brian Collins, Midland High, TOY, Timmy Park, Midland High, UH, Christy Stevens, Parker Elementary, TOY, Rachel Plate, Parker Elementary, UH, Celia Corrales, Pease Communications and Technology Academy, TOY, Crystal Aldurete, Pease Communications and Technology Academy, UH, Carrie Garten, Rusk Elementary, TOY, Jovita Renteria, Rusk Elementary, UH, Calvin Jackson, San Jacinto Junior High, TOY, Vanessa Salinas, San Jacinto Junior High, UH, Caitlin Culp, Santeria Elementary, TOY, Annette Montanez, Santa Rita Elementary, UH, Mary Alice Wilkins, Scarborough Elementary, TOY, Jessica Bravo, Scarborough Elementary, UH, Christabel Gonzalez, South Elementary, TOY, Kara Bergeron, South Elementary, UH, Catherine Jones, St. Anne School, TOY, Ron Moss, St. Anne School, UH, Claudia Orozco, Elementary, Texas Leadership Charter School, TOY, Rosa Henderson, Texas Leadership Charter School, UH, Cliff Clark, Middle, Texas Leadership Charter School, TOY, Jacqueline Porras, Texas Leadership Charter School, UH, Margaret Chavez, High, Texas Leadership Charter School, TOY, Maria Rodriguez, Texas Leadership Charter School, UH, Brian Peters, Elementary, Trinity School, TOY, Casey Lemons, Secondary, Trinity School, TOY, Anna Jimenez, Trinity School, UH, Marlon Lopez, Yarborough Elementary, TOY, Kristen Godwin, Yarborough Elementary, UH, Halston McCullough, Young Women's Leadership Academy, TOY, Araceli Diaz, Young Women's Leadership Academy, UH. Sponsors include the Abel Hanger Foundation, Diamondback Energy, ConocoPhillips, Pioneer Natural Resources, Bryant Family Foundation, Permian Resources, Community National Bank, Lynch, Chapel and Alsup, Frost Bank, Warren Charitable Foundation, Faskin Foundation, and Midland Development Corporation.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.